All right, so today's topic, prayer through song. I want to start this topic by asking you just a few questions. So first, why do we sing? It's not a trick question, I promise. Why do we sing?
Praise God.
Praise God, okay. What else?
Teach and admonish.
Teach and admonish one another.
Encourage one another.
Encourage one another. Right, all of these are correct answers. So we sing to praise and glorify God. We sing to uplift and encourage one another. We sing for all of those reasons. Now, why do we pray?
To communicate with God.
To communicate with God, right. We just heard a lesson on it, right? Why else? Believe there was a point in that lesson about having an intimate relationship with God, coming into the presence of God when we pray, correct? All right, now this one I don't want you to answer just yet, but my next question is it possible to do one through the other? Or to put it more simply, can we pray through song? Now, to answer this question, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, and we're going to take a look at this verse. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Someone go ahead and read that out loud for me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
Right. Now, I want us to notice some very specific wording in this passage. I want us to notice the words psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, if you ask most people about this passage, what they're going to tell you is, what that means is, we sing songs, right? We sing a cappella music in worship to praise and glorify God and to teach and uplift one another. But most people don't take it further than that. Today, I want to present to you the idea that each three of these different words had a different meaning and that Paul was talking about a different type of song with each. To do that, I want to look at the Greek for each of these words. The Greek word for psalms is psalmos, meaning a song played on a harp. Also, I'm going to apologize in advance. I am not a Greek scholar, so if I mispronounce these words, I'm sorry. I tried my best. But psalmos means a song played on a harp. Now, if we look at David's instrument of choice, what was it? It was a harp, right? Now, who wrote the Psalms? David. David wrote the Psalms. David's choice of instrument was a harp. So, kind of interesting that all of these things tie together. Psalmos meaning a song played on a harp. David wrote the Psalms. The main instrument he played was a harp. Hymns is hymnos, meaning a song of praise. And then for spiritual songs, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that one because I don't have a clue how to even start. But the first word means relating to the human spirit, and ode means song. Now, what are the different types of songs that Paul was talking about here? Because obviously, we know that psalmos means a song played on the harp, but God no longer accepts instrumental music in the worship service to him, but we're still told to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, what was Paul talking about when he said to sing psalms? Psalms are songs that come from the Scripture. Songs such as the deer. This song comes from Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. And I want to go through this class, and I'm going to list off a few songs. And I know that we probably sing them all the time. But I'm still going to go through and I'm going to read some of the lyrics to you because I want you to listen to these lyrics thinking about the fact of what type of song this is. So, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. Now, if we look at Psalm chapter 42, verse 1 and 2, we will notice very similar wording. And some versions of this song have actually added the verse of, "My soul thirsts for the living God. The men lead, the women follow." It's a beautiful verse, but it comes from Psalm chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. The next song is Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Now, if we look at Psalms chapter 148, we will also notice very similar wording in this passage. So I want to present to you the idea that psalms are not songs that are played on the harp, but these are songs that are taken from, well, the psalms. Kind of ironic. But these songs were the original songbook, if you will, for the early church. The next type of song that I want to present to you is the spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are the songs that we sing to one another. We mentioned that we are commanded to sing to uplift and encourage one another. These are the type of songs that we do that with. These are the type of songs that if you were to turn to your left or to your right and sing it to your brother or sister, it would make sense for you to be speaking these words to them. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So, when we sing this song to one another, what are we telling each other? What are we encouraging one another with? Hope? Right. We're telling one another, look, Christ is my solid rock. He's not going anywhere. Nothing's changing with him. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's solid as a rock. That's where our foundation is. Another song that goes hand in hand with this is, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. This song is more than just an encouragement. This song is a challenge to our brethren. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? What about yours? Will yours hold in the storms of life? You're uplifting and encouraging your brethren by asking them the question, are you firm in the foundation of Jesus Christ? We know from the chorus we sing, Jesus Christ is that anchor, but are you using him as that anchor? Another song is No Tears in Heaven, No Sorrows Given, All Will Be Glory in That Land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. Now I have a question for you. Do we sing songs to God? Again, not a trick question. Yes, we sing songs to God, but are we going to tell God that there are no tears in heaven? No, we're not going to tell God that there are no tears in heaven. God already knows that. God is the one that told us that. We wouldn't have any clue of that unless he had told us that. So we're not going to tell him that. This is something, this is something that we are going to tell our brethren to encourage one another. Hey, I know that you've been dealing with this pain or this ache or this sorrow for a while, but guess what? We're going home. There are no tears in heaven. All of the pain and sorrow that you're facing, it's all going to go away. It's an encouragement every single time we hear this song, and it is sang to our brothers and sisters. Now, we get to my favorite. We get to hymns. And you might have noticed that I did this out of order just a little bit from the text. If you noticed that, you've been paying attention, and good job. But the reason I did that is because this type of song is actually the answer to our lesson question. The next song is a hymn. Hymns are to him. Is it corny? Yes. Does it work? Yes, it does. Kind of like the old saying, if it's stupid and it works, it isn't stupid, right? This goes along with that. Hymns are songs we sing to Him. Songs such as Listen to Our Hearts. This is one of my favorite songs. How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows for those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. Now, same question I asked on the last type of song. We're not going to tell God that there are no tears in heaven, right? Are we going to tell our brothers and sisters to listen to our hearts? Are we going to tell them that? No, we're not. Why? Why are we not going to tell them that? Say it again. Because they can't. If our brothers and sisters could hear our hearts, they probably wouldn't be concerned about how terrible our voice sounds. I don't know about you, but I can't sing to save my life. There's a reason that God doesn't care how terrible you sound. It's because He cares about where your heart is at. If our brothers and sisters could hear our hearts, they would not care about our voices. So we're not going to tell... Whoops. No, go back. We're not going to tell our brothers and sisters to listen to our hearts. We're also not going to tell them that we need their every hour, because while we love our brethren, sometimes they just plain old get annoying, and we do not want their every hour, right? God, we want His every hour. We are pleading that He gives us His every hour in this song. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. Again, we're not going to be telling our brethren things like this, because our brethren cannot bless us in the way that God can. But this type of song is also the answer to our lesson question. Does anyone remember what our lesson question was? Can you pray through song? The answer is yes, you can. If you look at the wording of a song like Listen to Our Hearts, you are pouring your soul out to God in that song. You are, God, I cannot express my love to you in human physical words. Listen to my heart, please. God, I need Thee every hour. I need You. Please stay nearby. This is a prayer that we are offering through our song. Then we come to the really fun songs. We come to the songs that actually combine several. Now, these can combine whichever ones they want. They don't follow rules. This one, Praise Him, Praise Him, actually combines a hymn and a spiritual song. I'm going to read you the lyrics, and then I want you to try to figure out how this one completes both of those tasks. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins, He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Now, how is this a spiritual song? We discussed that spiritual songs are songs that we sing to one another to teach and admonish one another. So how is this one a spiritual song? Right. It talks about the blood that He shed for us. It talks about the sacrifice that He makes. Anyone that comes into the building can sit down and listen to that song and have a generic, basic understanding that Jesus Christ came to this world and he bled and died for us. Now, how is this song a hymn? We discussed that hymns are songs that we sing to him, so how could this song be looked at as a hymn as well? What's up? Right, it's praise. We're giving honor and praise to God for his son. We're not going to thank our brothers and sisters that Jesus Christ came down to this world and died, right? Because that would just be pointless. They had nothing to do with that. The only thing they had to do with that is causing the sin that needed him to come down to this world. They didn't send him. God did. So when we sing, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, that is directed towards God, thanking him for his son's sacrifice, for the blood that Jesus shed, and for the redemption that we have through him. However, there is a catch to praying through song that all of us need to be aware of. And that is that we must understand what we are doing. And we must sing with our hearts. Let's start with how we must sing with the understanding. Let me get my notes back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. Someone go ahead and read that for me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. I got the wrong verse. Where did I put my phone at? I did say 15:14. I wonder if it's 14:15, maybe. I'm not sure where I put my phone, otherwise I'd look it up.
What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit.
That's it.
I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also.
Right. So I will sing with the understanding, and I will pray with the understanding. There's two very important words here, and that is understanding and understanding. If we do not say a prayer with understanding and we do not sing with understanding, what good does it do us? Does it do us any good? The answer is no, it does not. I want you to think for a minute. If someone were to teach you how to recite a prayer in German. Does anyone speak German before I give this example? Does anyone speak German? Okay, I didn't think so. If someone were to teach you how to recite a prayer in German, and you recited that prayer word for word for word for word for word in German, would that prayer have any effect for you? No, it would not. Why would it not?
You don't know what you're saying.
You don't know what you're saying. You don't have a clue what you're saying. If you don't know what you're saying, how can you understand it? Obviously, you can't. The only way that you can pray is with understanding. The only way you can sing is with understanding, too. But the next catch that we must be aware of is we are also told that we must sing with our hearts. I mentioned earlier that your brethren can't look at your hearts because if they did, they wouldn't be concerned about your voice, right? God is not concerned about your voice. He doesn't care if you can't carry a tune in a bucket or in the ocean. He couldn't care less. He cares about where your heart is at. Do you sit there on a pew on a Sunday morning and go, man, song leader picked out another slow song. I can't stand this one. He really just needs to hurry up. My goodness, he picked a song we have to sing through twice? Really? Well, I guess I'll just mumble through the words and get through it. Or do we sit there with the attitude of, I don't know what that word is. I think I'm going to go look that up, figure out what that means, that way I can sing with the understanding. Or, sure, this song is slow. It's not an upbeat, fast-tempo song. But the meaning behind it is so incredible and so deep that it's good for us to be singing. It's good for us to understand what it means and have that, the thought of that going through our minds. We must sing with understanding, and we must sing with our hearts. Now, I do want to go ahead and mention singing with the Spirit, because I did not get this lesson all by myself. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Myron Bruce with Singing with the Spirit, but I called Myron and I was like, please help. I need some advice here. So he gave me some advice, and he said that if anyone is interested in diving further into this subject, this is what he does. This is not what I do, obviously. This is his deal. So if you are interested in diving further into this topic, getting more info, going, you know, a lot more in-depth than I could ever go, then Singing with the Spirit has a lot of great resources online, and Myron does a really great job with that program. Now, for the rest of the time that we have, I'm sure that I haven't gone for very long, but for the rest of the time that we do have, I want us to do some discussion questions. I want you to think of your favorite psalm, hymn, or spiritual song, and think to yourself, have you ever used that song as an expression of prayer? And I want to talk about this for just a few minutes because this is really, really important. So think of your favorite psalm, hymn, or spiritual song, and have you ever used that song as an expression of prayer? There are no wrong answers, by the way.
Baptism is called a way in which we call upon the name of the Lord in Acts 22:16. So, you know, when you think about a particular song that you're singing, I need thee every hour, we are singing to God when we're saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe not in, and in, when I say intentional, yes, we mean what we sing.
Right.
But we think of it as a song more maybe than a prayer, but it is both.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much both.
I think about being out probably on in the farm or the woods and singing how great thou art.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the child there.
Right. And I think those are both great points. Brother Phil mentioned calling on the name of the Lord. That's something I didn't have in here, but that's a great point. Calling on the name of the Lord. It's a very, very broad term. But when we sing, when we pray, even when we're baptized, like he mentioned, we are calling on the name of the Lord. And it is incredible to go stand at the beach, the ocean, and you can look out and all you can see for miles upon miles upon miles is just water. And it's beautiful. Or going out into the woods and looking around at all the scenery, the trees, the birds, the animals, the everything else, and thinking how great thou art. An incredible song and something that we can see all around us. Any others? All right, what about this question? Have we forgotten what song can do and how it can help shape an individual and congregation? And I want to give a little bit of background on this question before we answer this. So my dad mentioned that Fred Rhodes, the guy that got up and did our singing for our first keynote, was our mission leader to Port Antonio, Jamaica for 2 years in a row. It was very interesting when we were in Jamaica to see the difference of how they worshiped God. Now, obviously, still worship God in spirit and truth, as we do here, but it was very, very different. We didn't even start worship services. We would start with singing for about 25 to 30 minutes, nothing but singing. Then worship services would actually start. We'd have more singing. We'd have a very, very long lesson, more singing, and then after that, probably even more singing as everyone's walking out the door. The reason for this is because Jamaicans are obviously a very poor country. Jamaica is not a rich country. And a lot of these Jamaicans have to choose, okay, am I going to pay cab fare to get to worship services today, or am I going to buy lunch for my family, right? So when they come to worship services, they do not want a 30-minute lesson and a 20-minute song service. They come to be filled. So looking at that and then looking how we worship here in America with our air-conditioned and heated cars that bring us all the way here, and the only thing we have to pay for is gas money and if something breaks, our air-conditioned, heated buildings with a whole bunch of different kinds of technology built into it, comfort pews and everything else. And how much do we sit through services, and how many fits will people throw if the sermon is 32 minutes long instead of 30 minutes long? Or if we sing two songs before the first prayer instead of one song before the first prayer? Have we forgotten what song can do for us as Christians and as a congregation?
I believe at times we do.
At times we do?
Simply for what you're saying, it's sometimes we're like, oh man, come on, it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was preaching and everything, don't ask me to preach on Super Bowl Sunday because I'm going to make it go long.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's singing, whether it's time of prayer, when the preacher's up there preaching, we forget what we're actually supposed to be doing.
Right.
Well, I know I have in times in the past, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, Brother Greg mentioned, just check in that next box. Okay, we did singing. All right, now we did communion. Now we did that really long lesson. Preacher could have hurried up on that one.
I came through the door.
Right. I came through the door. I sat in the pew.
Sometimes, we have a certain order that we go through in our worship, and we have songs, and we have prayers, we have a scripture reading, we have a sermon, those kinds of things, and we're just kind of there. But intentionality mm-hmm. is part of what it means to worship altogether. And if you don't have that intention, then really your spirit's not there.
Absolutely. And do you know, it is incredible to see how many people will throw a fit because you decided to change the order of songs with the order of the lesson and something else. We were at a congregation one time, me and my dad. He was preaching, I was helping him preach because I'm a preacher's kid. It kind of comes with the territory. But we were at a congregation, and it had been two songs of prayer, a song, communion song, lesson song, song. It had been that for who knows how long, years upon years upon years. We proposed to change the order of one or two songs. We had five or six people that said, how dare you? You could never. Why? Well, because that's the way we've always done it. Who cares? Right? The way we've always done it does not necessarily mean that that is what is best and what we should continue to do. I think all of you are right. I think that a lot of times it's going through the motions. We sit there, we're not intentional, and we get comfortable. We get used to it. We sit there in those pews, and we're like, okay, I know what's next. All right, I know what's next. Yep, I know what's next. Almost time for lunch. Hurry up. It's just going through the motions, just checking off that next box. I talked about singing with our hearts. If we're not singing with our hearts, if we're not paying attention and we're just going through the motions, can we sing with our hearts? No, we can't. What are we singing with at that point? Just your voice, right. Just your voice. At that point, you are just singing with your voice, and your brethren should be concerned about the way you sound, because that's the only thing you're singing with at that point. Any other thoughts or comments on these two discussion questions? I know we still have a little bit of time left. Absolutely.
In singing. I'm saying, well, I can't sing to save my life. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they have me lead the songs. I love singing, but am I pleasing to God?
Right. And I think that's a question that we should be asking throughout our entire lives. It shouldn't be, well, does Sister Betty that sits, a couple pews in front of me, do I sound good to her? Or do I sound good to person I'm trying to impress off to my left? We shouldn't be concerned with that. When someone comes up to us and says, your voice sounds absolutely terrible, do you know how tone deaf you are? Yes, I do. Do you know that I'm singing with my heart and pleasing my master? As long as we are doing what is pleasing to God, we shouldn't be concerned with what someone else thinks. And going back to the issue of changing the order of songs, Are we given instructions anywhere on what order worship service is to be? No, we're not. So long as the worship service has five key elements, and so long as it is done in spirit and in truth, and as long as we are together, then that worship service is pleasing to God. It doesn't matter if we have two songs or 35 songs before the first prayer. That is going to be pleasing to God, and that should be the only thing we're concerned with. We always pray. We ask that, you know, this worship service will be pleasing in your sight. Do we mean those words, or is that just something that we say? Something else to think about. Good.
I'm going to admit I'm guilty of this before I bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've noticed in my personal walk, if I just go through the motions on Sunday and I check the boxes on Sunday, then I just go back to the world and live my life. Sunday's not near as fulfilling to me as if I do these things every day.
Right.
Back to that word walk. It's a walk, but it's an everyday walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a Sunday
thing. Right. If you're going to exercise, if you're preparing for, you know, a 5K marathon, are you going to go out and just immediately run the 5K marathon? No, you're going to go out. You're going to walk. You're going to run every single day to prepare yourself for that. Too often we treat God and worship as this box. And on Sunday, I'm going to pull this box out of the closet, I'm going to dust it off, I'm going to open it up, I'm going to take my Bible out, I'm going to go worship service, but then as soon as I get home, it goes back in that box goes back up on the shelf, and that's our Jesus for the week, right? We don't do anything else, we don't go fellowship with our brethren, we don't go to, you know, lectureship events. All of you, obviously none of you can say that because you're here right now, but too often that's how we treat God. And he'll be up there, he'll be waiting for me on Sunday. Christianity is not a Sunday morning deal. It is an everyday thing. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Did he only imitate Christ on Sundays? No, he did not. He imitated him throughout his entire life. One of the stories that I heard when I was growing up that had a huge impact on me was this little girl who had never gone to Bible class, her and her mom got invited to services one Sunday morning. She went to Bible class, and she got back in the car. And she asked her mom, she said, so the Bible class teacher told me that God is bigger than us. Mom said, yeah, that's right. Little girl said, but she also told us that God lives within us. Mom said, yeah, that's right. Little girl goes, so why doesn't God show through us? Now, obviously, the little girl was talking physical, but if we look at it as spiritual, that has a lot of great impact and meaning behind it. I feel like in a lot of ways, we've lost that. We have lost being able to show God through our actions instead of just our words. I heard something else, and I actually preached a lesson on this. If Christianity was made illegal, would you be even considered to be arrested, number one? If you were arrested, would they be able to convict you? What would your friends say? What would your attorney use as evidence for or against you? Would your friends come in and say, yeah, he goes to church, you know, every Sunday morning, but after that, he's just like the rest of us. I mean, you know, he cusses and drinks it up with me on the weekends, but Sunday he's got to be in church, but after that, he's good. Or would they say, man, there's just something different about that guy. He's a little weird. He doesn't do things the way the rest of us do them. You know, he's always concerned with this God fellow that he seeks to please. He's always in church services and active every single Sunday. He's active outside of church services, and he's just, you can never get this guy's attention because he's always focused on God. Would you be convicted or would you not? I think if we were to go through living our lives asking ourselves if we would be convicted, we would be a lot better off. Because guess what? There will be a judgment day. It might not be in a courtroom. It might not be with the judge with the really fancy long hair and the long robe and the everything else. But we are going to stand before a judge. And our entire life is going to be presented to us, and we are going to be asked to account for everything that we have done. If we have just treated God as a box that's taken down every week and pulled out, that's not going to look very good for us. We are going to be convicted to hell at that point. But if we are actively living Christ, then we are going to be convicted, if you will, to heaven, to an eternal salvation. Any other thoughts? All right, well, I think that's all I have. Again, apologies for cutting this class a little bit early, but it gives you time to go walk around, use the restroom if you need to, and stretch out, because I know we've been sitting down for a while. So I appreciate all of your comments, and I appreciate your attention.